Welcome to the Every Nation Taipei podcast. We're here to help you know God, discover your purpose, grow in your relationships, and make a difference in Taipei, Taiwan, and beyond. We hope this message encourages you today.
Well, welcome. It's good to be here. I'm going to jump right into it. I don't know, anybody here been watching the Olympics? No? Yes? Don't want to admit to it? Something like that. Well, my wife and I, we get caught up watching the Olympics because my family, they will watch the Olympics, so I kind of text each other and talk about stuff. And one of the events that I really like is the high jump, because when I was in high school, I did high jump. And I jumped about, my highest height that I jumped was about where the women now are starting. So, you know, it's a long time ago, and I didn't jump all that high. But we're watching the high jump, and there's this one competitor, when she would start to jump in the last round, was they were coming towards the gold medal. They're competing, she and this other gal. And they're focusing on her, and she would just lift her hands, and it looks like she was singing worship songs. And I thought, she looks like she's worshiping there. She's out there getting ready to run up and jump over the thing. And then as they read up about her afterwards, turns out that's what she was doing. In fact, one of the interviewers are saying, "What song were you singing?" She's like, "Actually, I don't know. I kind of just sing whatever came to mind, and just was just worshiping." And she says, "You know, when I jump like that, I feel like it's like worship. For me, singing in church is like when I go over the bar, I feel like I'm singing in church. It's like worship to the Lord." And so I caught a little clip. This is kind of like a multiple. It was some guy who caught it on TV, was recording it off of his TV, who then put it up on TikTok. But anyway, so here it is. She's from Australia. She ended up winning the silver medal. And this is what she's doing. She's preparing. You can see her just lifting her hands, looking up to the sky, and she begins worshiping. She's just standing there and just going, you know, worshiping God. And then she became really famous. Actually, what she's most famous for is that she would, every time after she jumps, she goes over to her bench or to the warm-up spot, and she became famous because she'd always pull out a little notebook and write in it. So the first thing she does after she jumps, she goes off to the side, sits down or lies down, and starts writing in this book and reading in this little notebook, this journal. And people are saying, "So what is it you're writing in there? What are you reading?" And I remember this one Australian newspaper said, you know, she gave this very bizarre answer as the headlines. You know, people ask, what is Nicola writing in her book? She gives this bizarre answer because she's writing scripture and she's reading stories and she's drawing pictures. And then she's also writing everything about her jump. She writes down, you know, every step of the way and what she needs to focus on next time. But I love this notebook that she writes in, because here's a picture of the notebook. Can you see that? It says, "For His glory." And so she wants to make sure everybody sees that, because she says, you know, everything I do is for God's glory. When I'm jumping, it's for God's glory, because God made me to jump. And so I feel like that's how I'm giving testimony to God, is in jumping. And she said, "At first when I was writing this just for myself, but now that it became this big viral thing, I just use this as another way of testifying to God's glory and sharing my faith." And so today we're in this series called From Mission Field to Mission Force. And so my wife and I were talking this past week, maybe it was 2 weeks ago, and we're doing this thing where we're going kind of through principles in the scripture of what does it mean to go from being a mission field to being a mission force. Or in other words, how do you become? Because a mission force is basically a bunch of people who are all missionaries. And so we become a mission force, an army of missionaries. A mission field is a bunch of people who need missionaries to come and share and help and share the good news about Jesus. And so as a church, we're saying we want to be a mission force, not just a mission field. We want to be a bunch of people who go and take the gospel of Jesus out to others. And so we're talking about this, and then interspersed in between these lessons of what it means to be a mission, going from a mission field to a mission force, we're doing testimonies of different missionaries who are just a part of our congregation. And as we're getting ready for today and preaching, I was talking to my wife, and we came upon this realization, like last week or this week, that we're also missionaries. Yeah, actually we are. Actually, we've been missionaries ever since we got married. You know, because I went from Hawaii to New York, which is like a whole other country, although it's both island living. It's just very different islands. And she came from the Philippines over to New York, and then we came out to Taiwan, and we just didn't realize that we were missionaries. We're kind of just like living for God. But then I thought, you know, I'm just going to share my missionary testimony. So today, for those of you who are new, you're going to hear a little bit of my missionary story. For those of you who've been around, you can just act like you're hearing it for the first time. All right, so my missionary story. This is my testimony. And we're going to start off by saying, what does it mean to be a missionary? Because we're one, you know, we came on this dawning realization that we're missionaries because people in Hawaii, I just went back home for a brief moment, and I made this reception and said, hey, if anybody wants to come, I just put a post on Facebook and said, hey, if you want to catch up on Bruce and Terry and what we're doing in Taiwan, you know, just come up to the reception. And people came out and people were saying, man, you're doing so good out in the mission field now. You know, you're a missionary. But what does it mean to be a missionary? And so we just went to the dictionary, which is what we do, right? When we want to find out. Definition. Number one, there's two different definitions we're going to look at today of what it means to be a missionary. Number one is to be on mission. The word missionary actually comes from a Latin word called missio, which just means to be sent out. Missio, Merriam-Webster Dictionary says, it's a person undertaking a mission, and especially a religious mission. But the whole sense is that the whole sense of missionary is that you're someone who's sent out on a mission. Okay, so that's what it means to be a missionary. Definition number one, to be on mission. Definition number two, to be on mission in a foreign country or culture. So Cambridge Dictionary says it's a person who has been sent to a place, usually a foreign country, to teach a religion to the people who live there. So there's two different kind of emphasis here in these two different definitions of what it means to be a missionary. The first is the emphasis on being sent on a mission. And the second is an emphasis on being in a different geography or a different culture. All right, so different culture, different country. So that's what it means. Those are our two definitions of being a missionary. And that's important because you all are called to be missionaries. Okay, we're all called to be missionaries. So if you don't know what it means to be a missionary, then how do you know if you're becoming one? So being a missionary means, number one, to be sent on a mission. Number two, to be sent into a different country or culture on that mission. All right, so got it? We'll repeat that a few more times, and then you can start to evaluate your life to say, am I still a mission field, or am I being part of the mission force? All right, because God's called everyone here to be a missionary. Turn to your neighbor, look him in the eye, say, God called you to be a missionary. You're called to be a missionary. So, you know, here's what I always wonder when I'm preaching. Like when I'm preaching, people kind of look at me either with a little bit blank stare, sometimes interest, sometimes just looking at their phones, sometimes falling asleep. But once I have you talk to each other, all of a sudden, everybody starts smiling and they're laughing and they're alive and awake again. And so I'm just thinking, I would maybe preach better by sitting out there amongst you guys. Something like that. Anyway, okay, so we're all called to be missionaries. A couple of scriptures just to make sure we're biblical in what we're saying. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 through 19 says, this means that, I think I can move back to the middle here, that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old is gone, a new life has begun. Okay, so if you're in Christ, things are going to change. And if they're not changing, then it's time to get busy, all right? Things are going to change. Verse 18, and all of this is a gift from God. So becoming new is God's gift to you. God wants to make you new. This is another opportunity for you to turn to your neighbor and say, God's making you new, all right? Changing you up. It's time for change, all right? It's a gift from God who has brought us back to himself through Christ, and God has given us this task of reconciling people to Him. So there, it gives us an insight to what the mission is that God has called us to reconcile people back to God. We, because we have pretty much most of our lives ignored God, done what opposite of what He's told us to do, we've separated ourselves from God. But through Jesus, God has opened the door for us to come back into relationship with God. Because you and I were created for relationship with God. And this is the good news about Jesus, that Jesus came so that you and I could have a relationship once again with our Heavenly Father. I remember my natural father. Today's going to be kind of a preaching between Olympics, father, and missions. So we're going to wind them all together. So, and I forgot to get a picture of my dad to put in there. So we always forget. But my dad was, he was the type of guy he was great, he was kind, and he was wise, and if you can imagine what he looks like, he kind of looks like me, except he's stronger, and smarter, and better looking, and a little less hair. So you just imagine that, and then you get a picture of my dad. So, but anyway, my dad was a guy who, like in the family, when, you know, mom, we had six kids. So my mom was always chasing after someone or other. One of us wasn't obeying, right? There's always somebody amongst the six kids. So she's always after us. And it was always like, Bruce, did you do that? Sherwin, did you do homework? You know, did you pick up your clothes, Randy? You know, and so it's always someone's not doing something. But when she'd get really exasperated, she says, okay, I'm going to tell dad when he comes home. If you don't listen to me, and you know, dad's going to discipline you. Then all of a sudden, everything got really serious. Like, you always listen. Because if dad's going to discipline us, everything, like, okay, line up. Dad's going to get involved in the picture. So dad was just, he was the guy we listened to. We always going to respect dad. We always going to obey dad. And that's how we're supposed to relate to our Heavenly Father, is to just have honor and respect. My dad wasn't a mean person. He wasn't a mean father. My dad never yelled at us. But he was just commanded respect. And how much more should we respect our Heavenly Father? And yet, for the most part, we kind of just ignore Him. We could ignore my mom. Like, she could say three or four times, time to get up, time to get ready for school, come and eat, come and eat, come and eat, you know, and eventually, fourth or fifth time, you listen. But if dad says it's one time, you do whatever dad says. And how much more our Heavenly Father, when He says, hey, this is what you ought to be doing. And yet we ignore Him. And we disrespect Him. And so we've broken this relationship with God because we consistently ignore and disrespect Him. That's what sin is. But the Bible says, in spite of our rejecting God and disrespecting Him, Jesus has made a way for us to come back into favor with God and restore that loving relationship with Him. And that's the good news. But then once you become a Christian and come into relationship with God, then we, all things become new, and we are assigned a mission from God to go and be a part of bringing others into relationship with God. And honestly, that's a great thing. My dad was also a man who people just respected him. Every time we'd go to church, there'd always be a line of people wanting to talk to my dad just to get wisdom from him, to get insight from him. Because he was just a very kind and wise man. And even at work, it was the same thing. All his employees just have such a high respect for him. I remember at his funeral, we packed out the church, and people I'd never met would come up to me and say, you know, your dad, this is what he did for me. This is how your dad helped me. And people just, person after person would come up and share just stories about my dad, just honoring and respecting him. Government officials, other businessmen. That's the way it should be for us. We should be honoring God all the time and bringing people into that relationship with Him. And this is what God has the mission that God has given us, to introduce people to our God, so that every time that we come, there's a line of people who say, I want to know your God. I want to meet your dad. I want to meet your Heavenly Father. Because the things I hear about Him, the wisdom that I gain from Him, I want to be connected to Him. So that's what it means, this ministry of reconciliation. says, for God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. This wonderful message that God wants to be their friend. That not only do they want to talk to God, but God actually wants to talk to them. God wants to make himself, his wisdom, available to them. Jesus said it this way. Again, Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. So all of us are sent on a mission. And it's the mission to reconcile people back to our Father. So happy Father's Day. All right. Here's one last verse, Romans chapter 10, Romans chapter 16, verse 7. It says, greet Andronicus and Junia, my fellow Jews who have been in prison with me. They are outstanding among the apostles, and they were in Christ before I was. And so Paul, as he's writing this letter to the Romans, he's saying, hey, greet these guys, Andronicus and Junia. And Junia is a woman. And he says, amongst the apostles, she's amazing. These two, they're amazing. And so all you women, it's not just the men that are sent as missionaries. Women are missionaries as well. Because actually apostles, when it uses the word apostles, all that word means, it's the same as missio, it just means to be sent. So y'all are also called to be apostles. Not like the original 12 apostles, but in that you all are sent. So turn to your neighbor with a look of surprise and say, you're an apostle. Like, I can't believe it. Or maybe a look of disbelief. Something like that. All right, here we go. So, get into the story now. How my dad made me a missionary. Okay, so these are the moments in my life. I'm just going to recount three different moments where my dad was involved in shaping my life into this missionary life, where I was so much a missionary that when we actually are missionaries, we didn't realize it. It's just kind of like normal life for us. So the story is this. My dad, when I was 11 years old back in 1971, my dad was not even in church at that time. He was just working 7 days a week. His company was just growing and growing and growing. And so he was busy all the time. He'd often days, most days, he would leave work before we woke up. And then he would come home afterward in bed. So we rarely saw my dad. He was doing a lot of work out here in the Far East, different countries out here. He was an engineer. And so he would do designs for buildings and so many military bases, kind of wherever the military bases out here in Asia, wherever there were like big hotels or stuff coming up, often his company, he would get called out to do them. And so he was just very busy. And then he decided, we're going to move to Guam. Because Guam at that time was halfway in between the Far East and Hawaii. And so he wanted to be closer to the Far East. And there was a lot of opportunity. He felt like Guam's going to be the next place of building up. And so he decided to move his company to Guam, which was heartbreaking for us because we were involved in an amazing church that was in this place, what we call revival. I mean, people were just coming to Christ, coming to Jesus. The church went from like 40 people to like 1,500 people. And we were having church all the time, 7 days a week. My mom would drag us to church 7 days a week. So I spent a lot of time in church growing up. But the miracles were happening. Drug addicts were coming and getting off of drugs. So it was a church of long-haired hippies, surfers, gang guys, businessmen, Asian business people. It was just kind of this weird mix of people that God was just bringing. And so we were super excited about this church. Like, people really loved God and were passionate about God. And we're like, you know, going out and on a Sunday, we'd have church in the morning and then two church services, three church services in the morning. In the afternoon, we'd go out to the beaches. This is in Hawaii, so beaches and parks and share Jesus. And then in the evening, we'd come back for nighttime church, you know. And then after nighttime church, we'd have prayer meeting. And prayer meetings would go late into the night, sometimes until the sun rose the next morning. And God was just doing amazing things in the church there. And so we're so excited. And then my dad, who's not in church and not following Jesus, says, I'm going to move the business to Guam. And so off we went to Guam. Didn't realize it at the time, but that was my first missionary experience. Because we went out there, and there was a small church that just so happens. I love how these just so happens. It just so happened that our church in Hawaii decided, like a few weeks before my dad decided to move his business to Guam, they decided, let's go plant a church in Guam. And so we moved out at the same time that we're planting a church. And so there's a little church of like 20 people. And when you have a family of eight and you're part of a church of 20, you're like most of the church. So, you know, so we just kind of did everything in this small little church that met on the living room or the outdoor patio of the pastor's house, which is right on a beach, which is amazing. So we loved it. My dad said, church on the beach, I can go, you know. So he started coming back to church with us. And then because you got six kids, we just were like, we all learned how to, you know, play some music. So we're part of the worship team, cleanup team, setup team, children's ministry. Kind of you do everything when you're, you know, a small church like that. And that's how we learned. I mean, I didn't realize it at the time, but we were just living like missionaries and living like church planters. And so here's the thing about that. It's because we just did, you know, my mom actually went to the pastors and said, do I have to go with my husband to Guam? Everything's happening here. And I said, yes, you have to go. You're married. You got to go, you know. And there's something about when God puts authority in your life, even if they don't follow him, oftentimes they're who God will use in your life. And that's why the Bible says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, for this is the first commandment with the promise. And so God sets authorities in our lives. They're there for a reason. And this is true whether you're a Christian or not a Christian. You're going to find that life goes better if you learn to work well and honor the authorities in your life. If you're always dishonoring your boss and disrespecting them and don't know how to get along with them, it's not going to go well with you. If you're always disrespecting your parents and not listening to them, that's not going to go well with you. If you always disrespect the government and the, you know, the police and the, and, you know, that's not going to go well with you. So this is just a principle of how life works. If you're the smaller lion and you disrespect the bigger lion, it's not going to go well with you. It's just kind of how nature works. It's what's built into it. So even Jesus, so it's interesting here. Jesus, his first miracle, right? He's at a wedding feast and the wine supply ran out during the festivities. So Jesus' mother told him, they have no more wine. And he says, dear woman, that's not our problem. Jesus replied, my time has not yet come. In other words, not yet my time, mama. Just, you know, cool your jets. You know, I know you want me to take care of everything, but, you know, if moms ever get on your nerves like that, they always got something for you to do. They always got an idea of what you should do. And so this is kind of Jesus saying, you know what, you know, but then what does he do? He ends up going and doing exactly what his mom told him to do. And I love that he said, his mom says, told the servants, do whatever he tells you. Because the mom knew before Jesus knew that, no, actually now it is your time. And Jesus says this, he says, I only do what the Father tells me to do. So somewhere in between that time of saying, not yet my time, and saying, okay, now it's time, he realized, you know, the Father is speaking to me through my mother. And this is what we'll have, is we learn to honor and respect the authorities God puts in our lives. We'll find that God is speaking. And so it turned out, our time in Guam was just this amazing time of growth in our lives as a family, and me personally. So where I got my cut my teeth in just doing ministry, learned how to do that. And so encourage you. The first thing is that honor the people who are over your life. All right, so second thing here, serve wherever you are, however you can. All right, serve wherever you are, however you can. So when I was in Guam, like I was 11 years old. So it's not like I was up there, you know, I knew a lot of Bible and wanted to preach or could do a lot. But my mom just offered us for wherever we could. You need help moving? My boys will be there to help moving. You need help cleaning the church? My boys will be there helping the church. You need help cutting down the trees? My boys will be there. You know, just kind of wherever we could help, we just helped. And that's actually just a biblical principle. So you want to be a missionary? First thing is serve wherever you are in it, however you can. So wherever you see a need, just go fill it. Find somewhere where you can serve. Find something to do. And go do it. And if you look hard enough, you'll find some areas of need, even in our church. I mean, I know our church is pretty perfect. And like, we really got our act together. And everything's covered. But if you look hard enough, you might be able to find some place to serve. If you're here last Sunday, it was easy to see lots of places to serve. And actually, because since we moved into this place, we have a lot of places to serve, and that's why we have these cards, and Mark in the announcement said, you want to join the team? We actually, now, we used to be in a place where we were there 24/7. And so everything was always set up. When you come in on a Sunday, everything's already set up, ready to go, and you just leave things there and, you know, for next Sunday. But now we have to take everything out and then move everything back the following Sunday. So we need a whole new team, like to help us pack stuff up afterwards and move it back to the office, our storage. And then Sunday morning, pack all the stuff up and bring it here. And so we encourage you, if you have nothing else to do, come join the pack in and pack out team. We're going to call them the APE team, all the apes, which is our advanced placement and extraction. Anyway, all right. All the apes. But you know, I always get this, you know, guys are saying, you know, I feel called to be a missionary. I feel called to go here or there or go into full-time ministry. And I say, so what are you doing now? Well, I'm waiting until I go into full-time ministry. So start now. If there's a need, you know, there's a lot of people around you who don't know Jesus. There's a lot of need in the church where you can just simply serve. And so get busy. Start now. Bring someone to church. Invite someone you meet at Starbucks. Come to church early and join the greeting team. Learn how to say hi to people and shake their hand. You know, it's just simple. Set up, tear down, help out with kids. And this is the way the Bible says it. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters. So whether it's here in church or at school or in your office at your workplace or in your neighborhood, in your apartment building, everything you do, whether it's taking out the rubbish or the garbage, you do it as unto the Lord, and you look for opportunities to minister the love of Jesus in everything we do. Because we're all called to be missionaries. In other words, the place where you're going to school, you're sent there with a mission. The place where you work, you're sent there with a mission. The place where you live, you're sent there with a mission. And if you're not, then you should find another place to live and go live where God sends you. Otherwise, start being on mission wherever you are. Does that make sense? Are we good with that? Is that too many things? Okay, there we go. So that's it. Matthew 5:16 says, in the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. See, everything we do is worship to the Lord. I love how Saturday Jess put on a creative arts thing with dance and all the we talked about how all the different arts are just worship to the Lord, whether it's writing or dancing or painting or drawing. All of these things are worship to the Lord. And our favorite person from the Olympics, as you watch, I had to include her here somehow in the Olympics. There we go. This is Sydney McLaughlin, Livroni. And she is the world record holder, gold medalist now in the 400 meter hurdles, which is just a hard race. And so that's her crossing the finish line, kind of far in front of everybody else, setting a world record. But here's what she had to say. She said, what I have in Christ is far greater than what I have or don't have in life. He has prepared me for a moment such as this, that I may use the gifts he has given me to point all the attention back to him. So she's saying, my ability to run over hurdles really fast, it's a gift from God. And the purpose of that gift is to accomplish my mission of bringing glory back to him, to point people back to him. And whatever it is, wherever you work, you may not run fast. You might just be able to type fast or slow or, you know, but whatever you do, the Bible says we do it what? To bring glory to God, to point back to him. And it may not be on a huge stage like Cindy McLaughlin, but whatever stage you're on, whether if it's just an audience of one person in your work, you do it to point people back to him. All right. So that's what it means to be a missionary. All right. That's the same thing, but that's your, all right. Second point, look for clues in your life. Look for clues in your life. One of the clues for me was When I was 13 years old, back in 1973, my dad brought us on our first international vacation trip to Taiwan. Of all the places we could have gone, I don't know, he didn't choose Japan or Hong Kong or so many places that were more famous at the time than Taiwan, but he chose Taiwan and brought us here. And so we spent time in Taiwan, and I was cleaning up when I was back home in Hawaii. I was cleaning up some old papers, and I found all our travel stuff from that trip, staying at the Grand Hotel, and I found a little chart for conversion because we didn't have smartphones back then, so you had to get charts for stuff, you know. And it's 40 Taiwan dollars to a U.S. dollar. Oh, for those days again, if you get paid in U.S. dollars, or for it to sit the other way. Anyway, but it was. You know, it was just another time, but 1973 was my first trip to Taiwan. And when I look back now, when I felt like God calling us back to come here, and when I was trying to decide, are we supposed to go to Taiwan? Is God in that? I look back over my life, and I just see little clues along the way. The fact that my first vacation trip, not a mission trip, not a ministry trip, not coming in for visit churches or anything, but just a vacation trip, was to Taiwan, was just a little clue, like God saying, I'm just dropping little clues along the way. And if you look over your life, if you don't know, like, where is God calling me? We know we're all called. We're all sent on mission. But understanding where we're sent, God gives us little clues along the way. And what we're sent to do, you can look back over your life and find little clues. There's this guy here. 100 years ago, 1924, the Olympics were in Paris. And one of the most famous events in Paris was, again, the 400 meter. Not the hurdles, just the 400 meter race. Because there was this guy, Eric Liddell. And he was actually a missionary born in China and died in China. But in between, he moved to Scotland to go to college, high school and college. Went to the University of Edinburgh and at that time began competing because he discovered that he could run really fast. And so in the Olympics, he was slated to run the 100-meter dash. But because the trials and the heats for running the 100-meter dash were scheduled on a Sunday in the Olympics, he just said, I have a rule. I don't run on Sundays. Sundays are for God. Sundays are for church. And so even though he was the guy slated to run the 100-meter dash for Scotland, he said, I'm bowing out. And so what they did was they shifted him to the 400 meter. And his times were pretty just normal. Like he ran fast enough to qualify, but not fast enough to be a threat for any medals in the 400 meter. And they said, well, you know, you're really losing out. And you'll make the team. But whereas before you would have been the favorite in the 100 meter, now you're just not likely. But he ended up running the 400-meter dash, ended up, like Cindy McLaughlin, winning the gold medal, setting a world record in the 400-meter, became known as the Flying Scotsman. And I love this thing that he says. He says, I believe that God made me for a purpose, for China. Born there, and he ended up dying there. But he also made me fast. And when I run, I feel his pleasure. To give it up would be to hold him in contempt. You're right, it's not just fun. To win is to honor him. And so he said, as much as being a missionary, I'm called to be a missionary to China, but I'm also called to run. And so we see these things. So that became a huge platform for him, actually, and where he could preach the gospel even more because of his running. And so as you look in your life, there's different clues as to where God is calling you and what he's calling you to do. In fact, in China, there's still today a statue of him outside the school where he served. There's a plaque on the home where he lived. And there's still those who in China who say that he was the first Chinese gold medalist because he was born in China and died in China. So some in China still claim him and say, hey, you know, he's our first gold medalist. They made a movie about him back, I think, in the 80s, 70s, I forget, Chariots of Fire. So you've never seen that? It's a great movie. So that was, you know, for me, Taiwan was just one of those clues. My vacation trip to Taiwan as a little kid was just one of the clues that said, you know, you're in the right place. Third thing, when I was in my 20s, I went to Bible college and wasn't sure what I wanted to do with my life, but I knew you know, when I grow up. But in the meantime, while I was still in my 20s and not yet grown up, I wanted to do a bunch of things. So I wanted to be a missionary. I wanted to be a pastor. I wanted to be a businessman. I wanted to go to seminary. I wanted to go to Bible college. And so I said, those five things, I'm going to do those five things. I'll do at least each one for 1 or 2 years, and then I'll figure out what to be when I grow up. And so I started off on these things, and so I went to Bible college, went there for a year, and then after Bible college, I thought, I want to go to business now, you know? And so I was talking to my dad, and he said, you know, you just went to Bible college, you have all this knowledge about the Bible. And he said, if you don't use that, you're just going to become a critic. All that stuff, knowledge puffs up, the Bible says. You're just going to get proud of this knowledge that you have, and it's not going to be, you're not going to have the sharp edges knocked off by real life trying to use what you've learned. And so I said, I think you should go either, you know, be a pastor or be a missionary. And so we called up a friend of mine who is in Hong Kong. He actually had spoken at a college camp I was running. And he said, why don't we call him, call up Paul, and see if he'll have you come be a missionary. So I called up Paul, and he says, well, do you speak Chinese? And I said, no. And he said, well, my church is all Chinese, and it's all in Chinese. And he's British, but he spoke fluently. And so we talked about it, and so he said, well, you know what? Just come. We'll figure something out. So then I'm thinking, I don't know, should I go? Should I not go? So during this time, I was working for my dad, and he sent me on a trip to the Philippines just to in his engineering company. And so I was visiting all the military bases in the Philippines. It's part of my mission thing. I was there for like 6 weeks. And so while I'm there, I'm looking for churches to go to. And so we're all on mission, on military bases. And so I was at Clark Air Force Base. And at outside of U.S. military bases are not, there's always a red light district where all the young guys who want to just do all the things they couldn't do when mom and dad were around, they get to go do. You know, go to the bars, go to the strip clubs, be with prostitutes, do all that stuff. And so always outside, you walk outside the gate of Clark Air Force Base, this huge red light district. And so there I am. I'm in my 20s, all by myself, you know, working there. But I'm like, I'm going to go to church. So I went to church, and I just walked around till I found the church. I found this Assembly of God church, walked in, and they happened to have a missionary from Hong Kong. And she happened to be preaching from Mark chapter 16, verse 15, where it says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. And so as I'm sitting in there, I just realized, you know, this is not by chance that I walked outside of Clark Air Force Base, found the church. They happened to be having a guest speaker from Hong Kong talking about going into the mission field. I think God might be speaking to me to go into the mission field. And so the third thing we want to do is listen for God's voice. So number one, when you want to understand when you want to start to make this transformation into living the missionary life, do whatever you can wherever you're at. Okay, just start off. Just look for ways to help and minister and be a light. Second thing is look for clues in your life that give you a clue of where you're to be and who you're to minister to. And number three, listen for God's voice. So that was pretty clear for God speaking to me. Here's some things. Here's how to hear God's voice, okay? Just some easy steps. Number one, listen to those placed in your life. So for me, it was listen to my dad. When I wanted to go do business, go to seminary, he's like, and I think you should go be a missionary. And God used that. He spoke through that. Read the Bible. So when that missionary was preaching from Mark chapter 16, verse 15, from the scripture, God spoke to me. Pray. So in that time, I was seeking the Lord. God, you show me. Am I supposed to go to Hong Kong? Am I supposed to be a missionary, or should I do something else? And then go to church. So because I went to church, and God spoke to me. So all these things came together. So in your life, if you want to hear what God is speaking to you, learn to hear his voice. I love Darren's had a seminar yesterday about just hearing God's voice as you read the scripture and just letting God speak to you. And it's really simple things that we know. Right? Listen to people in authority in your life. Read your Bible. Pray. Go to church. That's what we do. Turn to your neighbor. Tell him, That's what you should do. Listen to feels and authority, read your Bible, pray, go to church. Simple, but it's how God speaks. So that's that scripture. Go into all the world, preach the gospel. Romans chapter 10, verse 14 and 15 says this. But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? That is why the scriptures say, how beautiful are the feet of messengers who bring good news. And so what we want to do today is we want to just officialize that you're sent. Okay, so we're just going to do that. In case you were wondering, am I sent? We're going to just officially do this. So why don't you all stand? The Bible says if anyone is in Christ, they're a new creature. And they've been reconciled to God, but also given a mission, an assignment to help others be reconciled to God. And so this is your assignment. To go and help reconcile people to Jesus. And it might be by running fast, jumping high. It might be by writing things in a notebook. It might be by working better. It might be that, like the famous missionary who came here, George MacKay, who used pulling teeth, singing hymns and pulling teeth to spread the gospel, planted 60 churches here in Taiwan by pulling people's teeth. Preaching the gospel. God uses whatever gift you have, God will use it if you'll give it to him. But it starts with us just recognizing and saying, okay, I'm sent. God wants to make your feet beautiful. If your feet have been stinky because you just have not been sharing the gospel with anybody, time to clean them up, you know. There's a verse, I forget if it's Isaiah or Jeremiah, where it talks about how the people of Israel were like pregnant, like they were going to give birth and birth new people into the kingdom of God. And instead of birthing new people into the kingdom of God, they just passed gas. And nothing came of it. And some of us, we look like we're going to help people come to Jesus because we sing so good at church. And we are at church all the time and we're really into it. We act like good Christians, but we don't ever produce fruit in our lives. We're just passing gas. So today, we don't want you to have stinky feet or just pass gas. We want you to help birth people into the kingdom of God. We want you to have beautiful feet. And so we're going to officially send you. If you don't know Jesus today, that's actually the starting point. To invite Christ into your life. To recognize that, like we sometimes do with our earthly fathers, ignoring them and disrespecting them, we've been doing that to our Heavenly Father for a long time. And it's time for us to honor our Heavenly Father and be restored in our relationship with Him. So I want to start with that. And just if you all would bow your heads. Father, we come today and to you today, and some of us, Lord, we've been disrespecting you, ignoring you, rejecting you for all of our lives. Others of us, we used to walk with you, but now we've just kind of are grown estranged from you. And Father, today we want to ask you to forgive us of our sin, forgive us of our disrespect and our disobedience. And we're so thankful for the blood of Jesus that cleanses us from those sins and takes away the anger that you normally have at all the disrespect and disobedience that we've shown towards you. And instead, it's turned you to just to love us and made a way where we can come right back into relationship with you. And so today we thank you for Jesus, his death on the cross in our place. And we say, come and be our Father once again. Be our Father, be our Lord, be God in our lives. Forgive us of our sins. Come into our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening. We pray this message spoke to you and built your faith. For more messages like this, visit our website at everynationtaipei.com. You can also send a prayer request and reach out to us anytime. God bless you. Till next time.